Good morning, everyone. So we're continuing this morning with our first series of 2019, which is called Start Well. Today is the second week of our three-week series looking at 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18, which is rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. This morning's talk, we're looking at verse 17, as we've said, pray continually. Follows on from Lee's message a fortnight ago where we looked at rejoice always. It's a privilege to speak to you this morning, but I want to start straight away by saying I don't stand here as an expert at prayer. There are a lot of people who are a lot more qualified to talk to you about prayer, but you're stuck with me. Unlucky. I'm far from an expert. I don't have any great wisdom to share with you from my own strength. But I don't stand here in my own strength. And while preparing for this talk, I have reflected on my own prayer life. When I think back, I do pray more than I used to. And actually, my prayers are slightly more deeper than they used to be. But I could pray a lot more. When I think specifically about my prayer life, I think I have grown. Over the last 12 years that I've been saved, my prayers have gradually drifted from a focus on self to a focus on God. But I've still got a long way to go. Do I pray continually? I'm not sure. Maybe that's a good question to pose to you straight away. When you think back to last year, 5 years ago, or 10 years ago, how does your prayer life now compare to then? How much do you pray? What do you pray about? Do you pray continually? I'm not one for dwelling on the past, but it can be helpful from time to time to consider where you're at, how you've grown, how much more Christ-like you are. Maybe it's a question that you can discuss in your small group meetings this week or missional communities. So, pray continually. First point I want to highlight to you is you must pray. You must pray. One of my favorite authors is Timothy Keller. He was a pastor in New York for 28 years. He's written a book titled Prayer. On the very first page of chapter 1, he writes that during the dark weeks following the 9/11 attack on the Twin Towers, during that time, being the pastor, he obviously had the aftermath of all of that to deal with. He had a congregation of over 5,000 people who were no doubt personally affected by that tragedy. But he writes that also during that time, his wife was struggling with Crohn's disease and he himself was diagnosed with thyroid cancer. And during all of this, his wife urged him to pray with her regularly. They had, up to that point in their lives, struggled to pray together. And she used an illustration, which I'll read with you. It says, imagine you were diagnosed with such a lethal condition that the doctor told you that you'd die within hours unless you took a particular medicine, a pill, every night before going to sleep. Imagine that you were told that you could never miss it or you'd die. Would you forget? Would you not get around to it some nights? No, it would be so crucial that you'd never forget, you'd never miss. Well, if we don't pray together to God, we're not going to make it. Because of all that we're facing, I'm certainly not. We have to pray. We can't let it just slip our minds. Kathy Keller knew the importance of prayer. They weren't going to get through all the difficulties they were facing without developing a habit of prayer. We have to pray. We must pray. Prayer is so important. Our verse today is from one of Paul's letters. In another one, in Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, it says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Devote yourselves to prayer. Paul's saying, make it a priority. Make time for prayer. Martin Luther once spoke about prayer. And he said, we are strictly and solemnly commanded to pray, as in the other commandments, not to kill, not to steal. We must pray, whether we feel like it or not. Luther treated prayer like a command. It wasn't optional for him. It was essential, integral to his faith and his walk with God. The decision to pray or not to pray was not influenced by his current feelings or his mood. It was crucial and natural because he actually saw not praying as disobedience. In Acts 1, it describes when the disciples saw Jesus taken up to heaven. They returned to Jerusalem. They went into the upper room. In verse 14 of Acts 1, it says they all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. So before the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost, the disciples were praying continually with Jesus' mother and his brothers. Prayer was the priority. From that, we see that prayer cultivates a place for the Holy Spirit. In Acts 4:31, it records that it was when the disciples had prayed that the room shook and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And when Jesus was baptized, in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 3, verse 21, it says, while he was praying, heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit descended on him like a dove. If you want a life empowered by the Holy Spirit, you must pray. As Kathy Keller said to her husband, we have to pray. And as Luther said, we are solemnly commanded to pray. We must pray. The second point this morning is a question. How should we pray? It's a question because I don't have all the answers, but I have a Father in heaven who does. You may wonder what Paul meant when he wrote to the Thessalonians to pray continually. Did he mean constantly, that we should be praying for every waking second of every day? Maybe in one sense. We can take from it, we should have a spirit of dependence on God that is permanent. We should have a continual reliance on God that floods everything we do. That is the essence of prayer. Even when we're not speaking to God, as followers of Christ, we have a deep dependence on him that is continuous. So in one sense, we should pray continually. Another way to look at this, I think this is probably what Paul meant when he wrote it. Praying continually means to pray repeatedly and often. The Greek word translated as continually, in some versions it's translated pray without ceasing. The Greek word is adialeptos. It's a word Paul also used in his letter to the Romans. In Romans 1, verse 9, Paul says, God, whom I serve in my spirit in preaching the gospel of his Son, is my witness how constantly I remember you in my prayers at all times. Paul said that he constantly remembered the Romans in his prayers. Same word, idioleptos, continually, constantly. I think Paul never continually prayed for the Romans, prayed for nothing else, just the Romans, every second of every day. But he did pray for them repeatedly and often. So how should we pray? As followers of Jesus, we need to pray repeatedly and often. When I'm home, my kids come to me constantly. I say constantly. It's not all the time, but it feels like. They ask for things. They want me to play games with them, watch stuff with them, read to them. But you know what? That's great. It's the way it should be. I'm the dad. That's my job. And that's what I'm there for. It's the same for us with God. When we come to God, we're not coming to someone who's distant and far off. We don't have to put in a load of work for his attention. We're coming to God who is our Father. He is quick to listen. In Psalm 145, verse 18, it says, the Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. And in 1 John 5, verse 14, it says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. We are confident in approaching God. Being a Christian is being in a relationship with God, brought about by the atoning blood of Jesus. We're adopted into sonship with the Father. We are free to come into the presence of God. And he always listens to his children. In Romans chapter 8, from verse 15, probably know the verse, for you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. We are children of God. I think it must grieve God if his followers, if his children neglect to speak to him. We come to God as our Father, who is always ready to listen. And we come to him in prayer repeatedly and often. That is how we pray continually. Another way we pray continually is by not giving up praying. In Luke chapter 18, Jesus tells a parable. In verse 1 it says, Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I'll see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. Will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? This is one of the few parables where the meaning is explained. Jesus was getting across the point of not giving up praying. He used the analogy of a judge who neither feared God or man, a selfish man, who simply because of the widow's persistence in bothering him, eventually listened to her and granted her request. Jesus isn't comparing the Father to an unjust judge, but he's saying that if a judge who doesn't really care will eventually act, then how much more will God, who does care, act? And he cares more than we could realize. So if there's something you've been praying about and maybe you haven't seen a breakthrough, maybe for years you've been praying about something, whatever it is, never think that God doesn't listen or that he doesn't care. Don't give up praying. Remember the acronym PUSH, pray until something happens. We must pray repeatedly and often, and we must not give up praying. So looking at this question, how should we pray? There are some practical ways we can consider how we pray. Practically, we can be disciplined in how we pray to God. We can be disciplined just like Daniel, the Old Testament prophet. Daniel was a Jew exiled from Jerusalem to Babylon after King Nebuchadnezzar conquered the city. It was around 600 years before Jesus. And God blessed Daniel, and he prospered in Babylon. Some years later, when King Darius the Mede took the throne in Babylon, Daniel was appointed one of just three administrators, and he was in charge of 120 governors over the kingdom. Daniel had a very important position. The Bible says that because of Daniel's character, King Darius had it in mind to place Daniel over the whole kingdom. And because of this, the other two administrators, they were put out. And they, along with the governors, they plotted to find a way to get rid of Daniel. They looked, they couldn't find any dirt on Daniel. Daniel was a righteous man. But knowing how he prayed to God, they influenced the king to place a law which made it illegal for 30 days for anyone to pray to any god or man or anyone other than King Darius. They played to the king's ego, got him to pass this law in the hopes of trapping Daniel, because they knew his character, he wouldn't stop praying. In Daniel 6:10, it says, now when Daniel learned that this decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened towards Jerusalem. Three times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Daniel knew that he risked being thrown in the lion's den to be killed. But not praying to God was not an option. Daniel lived a life that included a disciplined prayer life as well as spontaneity and encountering God. Daniel made prayer a priority. And from this, we see he valued it more than his position, even more than his life. Like Daniel, King David was also someone who made it a habit to pray. In Psalm 55, verse 17, it says, evening, morning, and noon, I cry out in distress, and he hears my voice. Again, like Daniel, three times a day, David set time aside to pray. I mentioned Martin Luther earlier. One of Martin Luther's friends, he once wrote about Luther. He said, there is not a day on which he does not devote at least 3 hours to prayer. Once I was fortunate to overhear his prayer. What faith in his words. He speaks with the great reverence of one who speaks with his father and his friend. Luther made it a habit to pray. He proposed at least twice a day. He said that you should guard yourself against deluding ideas that tell you to wait a little while, pray in an hour after I attend to this or that. He was saying to be disciplined and not to give in to the temptation of putting other things first. It's easy to say, oh, I'll wait till I've just done this and then I'll pray. And then you forget and you never do. So do you prioritize prayer? For Christmas this year, I asked Kate for a present, which she kindly got for me. And it's a new book called The Infographic Bible. Infographics are basically visual representations of data or information. So this book I got is where someone's cleverly gone through some elements of the Bible and created these infographics to demonstrate certain information. So it's quite interesting, if you like that sort of thing, if you're sad like me. But as an example, if I asked you, of all the prayers in the New Testament, what were the most common words mentioned in the prayers? You may not know the answer off the top of your head. You might be able to guess. Some of them are obvious, but this book has a word cloud that demonstrates it. So God, Jesus, Father, Lord, and Christ are obviously the top words, which you could guess. It's interesting that heal isn't up there. Words like love, glory, power, and thanks are used a lot. Give isn't up there either, but the past tense, given, is. So this book suggests the most common prayers in the New Testament are not prayers asking God for things, but rather praising him and thanking him for what he's already provided. I wonder, when we pray, do we ask God for things more than we thank him or praise him? We need to be a people of praise. There's another infographic, which it's actually that one on the screen behind me. I don't know if you can see it, though. It shows when all the prayers are recorded in the New Testament, where the person praying actually was, physically, when they prayed. 46% of all the prayers record where the person was. And the most common place is in the mountains. 13% of all the New Testament prayers are from people in the wilderness, in solitude. I find that interesting. Maybe it's a challenge for us to get away from the distractions and the busyness of life. Pray more in solitude. We don't have to go and find a mountain to pray. Maybe an aim for this year is we should get some more alone time with God. Spend some quality time with the Father. This is echoed in a book by Mark Buchanan. I don't know if you've read it. It's called Your God is Too Safe. In it, he refers to solitude. He says it's one of three holy habits. Seeking solitude is worthwhile. It's a holy habit. And quite often in the Bible, we read that Jesus went off to lonely and solitary places. He went off to pray. In Mark 1:35, it says, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Jesus was never too busy to find time to go off and pray. He was never too rushed. He never had too much to do. Prayer was integral to his life. He prayed continually. We should pray repeatedly and often. We should not give up. And we should have a balance of general prayer and prayer in solitude. If you've never got into the habit of prayer, if Daniel and David's three times a day or Luther's twice a day is too much, start off once a day. Allocate some time every day to prayer. You could try getting up early, whenever's best for your schedule, maybe when the kids are in bed. Look at when's the best time for you to get into the habit of dedicating quality time to prayer. I don't really do New Year's resolutions. Often people give up things and make temporary changes. I think if it's a worthwhile change, just change it, do it. Make it a permanent change. But if you've never managed to establish a regular prayer life, maybe that's a good time to do it. Still the first month of the year. Start well. Over the past few weeks, I've started eating more, and because I could do with eating a bit more, to be fair, and doing exercises every day. Trying to get a bit fitter. But spiritual fitness is more important than physical fitness. In 1 Timothy 4:8, it says, physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. And the final point this morning, another question for you. What should we pray? Jesus gives us some advice on what to pray, Matthew 6 and Luke 11. But we're not actually going to look at the Lord's Prayer this morning. We did a whole series on it back in 2017. If you were here then, or If you were not here then, rather, or you've forgotten it, the talks are online if you want to listen to them. Paul writes in Philippians 4, verse 6, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." Paul suggests that we can pray to God about anything. Prayer is for every situation. Prayer doesn't need lengthy, convoluted words. God knows what we're going to say before we say it anyway. He knows our heart. Prayer is a conversation with God about anything. And we're not limited as to what we can pray about. Paul also writes to the Ephesians in chapter 6, verse 18. "Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people." We pray for the Holy Spirit and we pray in the Spirit. Don't pray in your own strength, pray in God's strength. And pray all kinds of prayers on all occasions. Paul was teaching the church that you really can pray continually. And Paul emphasizes that people in the church should pray for other believers. Pray for all the Lord's people. Prayer is so important. Prayer is powerful. In Mark chapter 9, it describes a time when a man brings his son to Jesus because the boy is possessed by a demon. It says the disciples tried to drive out the demon, but they couldn't. Jesus removes the demon, heals the boy. And then in verse 28, the disciples then ask Jesus privately, "Why couldn't we remove the demon?" And Jesus tells them, "This kind can only come out by prayer." I find it interesting, when you look three chapters earlier, the 12 disciples have been sent out by Jesus in pairs. And it says that Jesus had given them authority over evil spirits. Mark 6:13 says that the disciples drove out many demons. Yet just three chapters later, they failed to drive out this demon. Now, there are different types of demons, but that isn't the point here. The disciples have been rebuking demons, healing people. Maybe they'd started to think they held the power. Maybe they'd neglected to pray. This will have been a great lesson for them about the importance of prayer. The power comes from God alone. Like a lamp, it doesn't matter what wattage the bulb is. If it's not plugged in, if it's not connected to the power source, it's not going to give any light. There's power in prayer, but it's God's power. Prayer connects us with God. But sometimes the struggle we face is the desire to pray. Like the disciples in Mark 9, we're not alone here. When we look at the Psalms, we see the authors are normal people who at times they struggled with the motivation to or a desire to pray to God. Psalm 119, verse 36 says, "Turn my heart toward your statutes and not toward selfish gain." So we can pray for a desire to focus on God, for God by his Holy Spirit to enable us to put God first in our lives. We admit to God that our hearts may at times desire the computer or the TV more than prayer, but we can pray and ask God to meet us, change our heart. A couple of other psalms, Psalm 119, verse 18, it says, "Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law." And Psalm chapter 1, verse 2, it's, "Blessed is the one whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law day and night." We can pray for spiritual eyes to see great and wonderful things in God's word. We can pray for a desire to delight in and be sustained by the truth of God's word. Last week, we looked at how we need to build our lives on the foundation of the word. And prayer is a foundation too. In Psalm 90, verse 14, it says, "Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days." We can pray for joy and satisfaction in God. Paul said in Philippians 1, 4, "In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy." Paul prayed with joy because his eyes were fixed on God. And when you're truly focusing on God, you can't help but praise him and be filled with joy. So you must pray. It's not optional. It's essential. It's life-giving. Prioritize prayer. You must pray. How should we pray? Regularly and often. Be disciplined. Spend quality time with God. Have a balance of time alone with God as well as group prayer. Pray always thanking God, and pray with patience and persistence. Don't give up praying. And what should we pray? Pray about anything, in every situation. Pray as speaking to your Father who's ready to listen to his children. Pray for a desire for God's word. Pray for increased love and delight in God. Pray in the Spirit and pray with joy. Praise him who is worthy of all our praise. There's so much on prayer, we've only scratched the surface this morning. The closing thing I want to say, if you take away anything, remember to develop a habit of praising God. If you're taking notes, write that down. I feel that's a key thing for us this year. Develop a habit of praising God. The person who has a habit of praise, the person who praises God repeatedly and often, that person prays continually. Just as we close, I'm just going to read some of Psalm 86, which is a fantastic psalm. It's a great prayer to God. And I challenge you to read it all, maybe read it all tonight, later. Spend some time in prayer about this psalm. I'm just going to read from verse 8 to 13. Among the gods, there is none like you, Lord. No deeds can compare with yours. All the nations you have made will come and worship before you, Lord. They will bring glory to your name. For you are great and do marvelous deeds. You alone are God. Teach me your way, Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. I will praise you, Lord my God, with all my heart. I will glorify your name forever. For great is your love towards me. You have delivered me from the depths, from the realm of the dead. Lord, I will glorify your name forever. You have delivered me from the depths, from the realm of the dead. Pray continually. He's worth it. Praise God. Amen. Amen.